Okay. Ja, das ist gut. Ja. Also, ich habe hier raus, das ist okay. Okay. Good. Good morning. Welcome in Leuven. Some people are still on the road, I think. I hope you had a good trip here. Look at the title. I was asked to do the keynote today. The initial idea was to talk about GDPR, but we have a second session, I think, just after me, who is going to go into detail what GDPR is, what the legal framework is, and so on. I will make the relationship to that. So I will talk about responsibility and how able people are responsible from technology. I would like to give you a sort of framework which you can decide to discuss with your customers where they are and what the next step could be in security and GDPR. So bear with me, it's going to be a lot of material. A lot of stuff is being hidden in the slides, which you will get access to work on as well. So this is me. I'm today Product Marketing Manager, Office 365, and you can find me on the internet. Okay, one of the things I will not be talking into detail on is the basic principles of what we stand for our cloud services. Privacy, we don't mind your data, it is your data. The fact that we have a compliancy and another not necessary certification in place. Transparency, where your data is and where you can have access to it. And security measures that we have in place. I have some material into the appendix, which you can still look at. This is the latest material if you want it, if you have those discussions with customers or yourself as a partner. What I do want to talk to you about is, do you know what the framework for security is that Microsoft is using for more than a decade? That's in depth. And basically, it's talking about three elements, and that's protect, detect, and respond. You should actually recognize this because it's based on a model which is from NIST, at the National Institute for Standards and Technology, which is using that. But they also have an identify, so prepare and recover phase, and we are mostly focusing on those three. We understand that you do your studies, we understand that you do your recovery. But typically, we have these three pillars, and we see much of our customers today looking at protection of different levels, security, device, and so on. But still, that while detection and respond is saying, how if I have a breach, I respond, how can I detect the fact that I'm breached, and so on, is less being looked at. You should be aware that all the things you do here in the protection phase is really to have your services up and running, whether it is to external customers, whether it is internally or employees, is all the things you do to have your uptime. On average, everybody knows the average time that people know that they are hacked. Anyone? More than 8 months on average. So a long time. And certainly with the obligations that you have in the GDPR regulation that's coming up, that you have to, once you have detected that you have been data breached, then you have to inform, time to inform certain bodies like the Data Protection Authority itself. Time to respond is something, a target that you are setting. And I hope the time to respond is less than the time to inform 72 hours. To inform a data protection authority. So you see that this time of protecting on this side only is not enough. This is nothing else than our defense in depth approach, where we look at protecting endpoint security, identity, and elements like that. Then we want to see what the behavior and the anomalies are, and then how to respond. So what's the gap between what we know and what we have detected, and how can we respond effectively to that? This is what we call, on a high level, a maturity level of the organization. Where are you sitting as an organization? What are you doing to do protection, detection, and respond? And then determine the gap. The second element for this framework is the evolution in the levels. You probably know about infrastructure and routers and network and all these elements, or the device. This should be familiar. Somebody said something about a computer and every desktop. So we have to make that secure. It's also something that we got aware of late 90s, security. And of course, another thing is identity. So the person and the identity having access to that. Another CEO has made a statement on the mission of the company on that from Microsoft. And of course, the last and not the least is that we become increasingly data driven. So the data that individuals have access to and what they do with it, should they have access to that, if that's information from you in the room and I have personal identifiable information on that, what can I do with that with a new regulation? Or just what is the process and what do we do with that data as a company? So that's a broad framework with different levels. And one of the things that we also assume, so don't be scared, you get the slides afterwards, I'm making some points here, is that we are not only looking at preventing breach. It's not about protection only. It's really about assume that you have been breached. Assume that your own employees are doing things they should not do. How can you protect yourself to that? Assume that somebody is in the network and is already hacking you. So how can we do that? So we assume breach. And for that, that's a totally different attitude as a company to go and do security. So we get this three column view and we get this four level view, okay? And what we want to say is that identity and data are defining really the new security perimeters. It does not mean that infrastructure and device security is not important anymore. There's equal importance, but you need also to look at those levels as well. Yeah? This is on the application level, this is on the SaaS level and things like that. So just to make a bridge to GDPR, and if you feel the brick turning in your stomach from yes, no, or ooh, should I, is that do you know who's accessing your data in the broadest sense, even your employees? Can you also grant on a real-time basis access to certain data depending on what they should actually see? So conditional access, but depending on the device, depending on the status of the health of where he's sitting, depending on what the power is and the identity of that person. Can I also protect data just on devices in between apps? Allow it to be working on a bring your own device and you access company data, and can I copy that towards other applications? Or should you not allow any SaaS applications which are not approved? Also, the breach, and what are you doing for response? Process-wise, people-wise, technology-wise. So GDPR is not, or general data protection regulation, is not just a technology thing. It's also about offline data. If I note your name on a paper, give you that to other people, it's also about it. And can I classify that? Can I classify data manually? I give it to you and I trust you as a user to classify your data. Or can I auto classify elements like that and then do things with it policy wise? I archive data which is older than 10 years. I'm archiving data which has specific data from personal identifiable information, which I should not, beyond the time I defined it, be still available to other people and delete it. The right to be erased and elements like that. So eventually on a high level, you will find this as like this. For example, if you look at identity, what are you doing to protect identity against compromise? This is a very high level element. For every box, we have something to say there. But if you go a little deeper, things like, what are you doing to augment passwords with additional layers of authentication security? This could be biometrics, this could be multi-factor authentication. Is that the person really that he is saying externally or not? Can I also make that intelligent? I don't need multi-factor authentication when I'm in the perimeter of my company, but when I'm outside, I do want to force for every application the same type of experience of multi-factor authentication. Eventually, this is all about, are you able to respond? So the title of the session was actually, I reversed it, saying, you are responsible. That's what our next speaker will talk about from a law perspective. If you're dealing with personal identifiable information, you have to first see, am I impacted or not? You are responsible as an organization. And then where am I in a security perspective? Actually, to respond to that from a security perspective and from a law perspective. So depending on where you are, you need to define where are you. The things that you have, do you have a single vendor approach? Do you have a multi-vendor approach? How can I actually evolve towards the end? Even Microsoft is evolving still to that area. Yeah? So it's the quadrant of Gartner in a different way. Okay, well then you get these slides of Microsoft, these marketing slides saying, we as a platform, we do this, la, 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 la. So this is just to tell you that they are starting to understand that how to map some of these functionalities towards that framework. But let's go through some of these examples. Advanced threat protection. Anyone? You all know what that is? So Exchange Online Protection, advanced threat protection. If I'm sending you an email which has a URL or the document itself, you're going to put that into a detonation chamber. You're going to check whether it's really safe or not. And only when it has been determined to be safe, you will deliver it to the end user. In the meantime, we dynamically deliver that toward the user so that he's not annoyed by the fact he doesn't get the email. So the email is not stopped. We're just checking on the URL or the document. Of course, we have to be also prepared against zero attack type of threats. so that you're getting something. It seems to be safe, but over time it's pointing to a bad malicious URL. So, and that's something we are delivering with Office Advanced 365 Advanced Threat Protection. Why do we do this? If you do get a data breach because of that, the cost can be very high. There are tools to do a business case on that. If you really want to, if you really doubt the impact of this, that people are stealing identities and doing things with data in your company, that there are tools for that. If people want to test that, there are trials that you can use. Now you would say, well, that's email, Patrick. We are starting with email. Yes, we are extending that to the other workload of a CDP. And yes, we also want, if you're creating documents in Office and you're creating URLs also, that that is zero time, day attack is happening on the other workloads as well. Okay, so let's go at advanced security management and cloud app security. So what are we talking about here? So I'm in the company, I have the same type of behavior as Bruno. I'm downloading a few documents, I'm looking at some websites, and suddenly, at just 2 weeks before I'm leaving the company, I start to do mass downloads. Yeah? Or somebody's logging on with my identity in Shanghai just 5 minutes after I had logged on in Belgium. Yeah? Didn't see any possibility yet to travel that like that, but we're working on it. So these anomalies I want to see, and also behavior, because even if you have an identity, me or Bruno, in the company, and suddenly me in my role, I'm doing suspicious things because I'm trying to access a number of things which I normally don't work with, like HR data or other things, even that behavior can be actually alerted. And you can use granular security controls and policies to do that out of the box, or you can also fine tune them. But you want to see the visibility of these violations. You want to make that visible and then take an action. If I detect that my identity has been breached because of the fact that I have an unpassable travel, suspend the user, make an informed decision, look at the log files that really happened and see what it is. Oh, I gave the password and to my daughter who is traveling in China to have easy access or whatever, and take an informed decision after that. Of course, you also want to look at, hey, what are people using in Office 365? And if we didn't do the correct change management or installation of making it available to users, they're still using other applications. Hey, we see OneDrive for Business with low usage, but we see Dropbox being used massively and people are sharing data outside. We should do something about that. Okay, so you can have here the cloud app security to look at that. So an example on anomaly detections, for example, impossible travel here, but I can still say no. I want to see, I know what type of travel that I have, but I'm not going to use the defaults of the security levels or thresholds which have been defined. Why do I mention that? Because internally there is some system, depending on the inputs that some people can get on network, user behavior and so on, is determining a certain level of security level. And that if you say, well, certain of these policies only have to trigger an alert to whatever you want, up to 10 recipients of email or SMS, whatever you want. You can put that higher depending on the policy that you have either created yourself or the out-of-the-box policies that you're using. Okay. So going on is that if you just look a bit more here, you see that this is what mass download by single use is, some of the out-of-the-box policies I could use, but I can still say, well, if it's a repeated activity, minimum 5 times within a time frame from 30, that's really suspicious. Mass downloads of gigabytes within that time frame of a user, which is normally not doing that, I want to be alerted on that and take the appropriate action, either automatically suspending the user or by hand. If you have a security operation center, you could do that. For example, suspending the user is one of them. And creating alerts, so your alert notifications, which I already said, by email, SMS, up to 10 people, where you can alert the necessary or the appropriate people to that. And of course, manage that. Manage is then what's the activity you're taking. Of course, that's always recorded in a governance log so that people know what you have done to prevent the company from being breached. So that's ASM, or Advanced Security Management, in fast tense. Here you look, you see at the dashboard of the cloud application security for Office 365, and he actually is visualizing you the high risk, medium risk, and low risk levels for applications. So if you click on it, it will also adapt this dashboard and show you which applications are related to that. basically can see here from a correlation perspective, I see what is being used by Office 365, how many gigabytes. I can actually drill down on what applications are being used. If this would be the reverse, then I have a real issue with communicating toward my users. I can prevent them to use from it. I can prevent the travel of data between the applications, still allow Dropbox for personal use, for example. Elements like that. You have a lot of options to do that. But you visualize in this the applications themselves, the users impacted, and the traffic, for example, towards those applications. Okay. Now, I hear you saying, yeah, that's Office 365. So indeed, Office 365, this is what we are showing. They are limited. They have a number of applications that are allowed or not. But if you want to go across all the applications, up to 13,000 applications, and then take much more, leverage much more the policy settings and enforcement of a DLP or data loss prevention, you can go to the Cloud App Security, which is part of another suite. These elements are just for Office 365 on itself. Okay, so be aware of the difference and the limitations of both. Good, so we have in the tech mode, and you probably will see that if you start to look at this table, that sometimes, well, wait a minute, I'm also using that to determine my response phase, and then you fill it in my boxes. You're aware of this? So we had already a process inside. We do this not only because we work, for example, with Microsoft, but also a third party. We have data centers, we do it together with HP. So we need to have a process where we isolate the data, where we determine what the personnel can do, and that we have just in time and just enough access. It means that at no given time, people do have access, have an administrative access to do something really sensible with that data. Yeah. The step that is really not here is that we wanted to have also customer logbooks. This is logbox on itself, yeah, but within the company with the people that do the outsourcing. We also wanted to have an extra step, which is meeting the customer. Imagine that I need to reinstate or do a certain recovery or a backup recovery of elements that the customer is requesting for some compliance or audit elements, because we need that data from a certain user that has been deleted. That can be done, and then they follow the whole process through that. There is a click-through demonstration of this, which is like 50 slides, which shows you what that is. But it actually shows you that there is, at no given time, there's a full access to all one of the mid-steps that you have to do that. Okay, so a logbox over there. Advanced data governance. This has been announced market, I think before summertime. A small element you need to. I'm not going to talk about other things like the office logs, which you can access, which is also in the compliance security center. But so the difference between e-discovery and data governance here. In discovery, if you look at this, the most simple format is you search in certain locations of Office 365. You look for Bruno, you look for something. That's E1 for some people that know licensing. If you go to E3, it's like, I want to have e-discovery. I want to have advanced tools to actually extract the data, because we are putting Bruno on a watch, on legal hold, and we have to diminish or, let's say, limit the data I'm going to give to a lawyer to investigate. The more that you give to that lawyer, the more time and hours that they spend, and the more money they spend. Advanced e-discovery is really with predictive coding, looking for patterns and relationships between data points, which you as a human will never find unless you know by accident that this person is accessing certain data in different databases for maybe not a good reason. Yeah. It means that it's going to use clustering technology and identify a relationship between them. So that's normal search, let's say e-discovery avant la lettre, e-discovery and advanced e-discovery, which is part of E5. Okay. Now, okay, what about data governance then? What do we mean by that? It would be interesting to know how, so many people do not really know where the data is in which part of Office 365. And sometimes they don't need the data anymore and they want to delete certain data or archive certain data. Or I'm not aware what data is really related to my financial segment, which is holding credit card information, which I need to keep for 10 years, or depending on the sector where you are. So can it then be automated to do actually data governance on that? And can also my users get labels to label certain data to take in certain action on data governance? So that's what we do with the advanced data governance. So the policy recommendations, classify data on labels, applying the actions to, do you want to preserve or delete data, retention, purging data like redundant, just making it obsolete or things like that. To make it a little bit more visible, or before that, is that of course, what we talked about is record management is really having the possibility to have classification with labels, retention policies, which I just mentioned, but also the possibility not only to work with Office 365 data, but to import data from other databases and do data governance on top of that. It means that you're going to ship it by drive, you're going to upload it or things like that, but you can use also the data governance functionality on data which is not originally sitting in Office 365. Okay. So just an example here, and you can look at that in detail in the slides afterwards, is that we found certain legal data or certain data which is responding to a certification. This could be something you have been putting or configuring yourself, and it's telling you, hey, you should create a policy for that. So you can create a policy, take either the proposed rules based on certifications that we have, or also customize them if you want. Once you've done that, it's going to tell you that it's going to put up the policy in place. And there you can decide, okay, it's about a period of 3 years or 10 years that you should actually be looking at. Also, the data can be defined. What is the data that you're looking at? Is it documents across different workloads or not? And of course, also about who. Is this for every user across the company, or is this for particular roles that have to respond, or that I'll need to watch that they don't have that data for longer, and so on. So think GDPR. It might be interesting to know that sometimes if in GDPR you need to define a time frame that if you're gathering PII information, which you need to safeguard, you have to always define what the data is for, how you're gonna process it, what you're gonna process it for how long. And in this case, yeah, you can also already have policies in place which automatically or manually will delete, archive, or keep certain data. But if you do that, you have to communicate that to the data subject, what you're doing with that. And the data is being imported. Another example here, and here it's, for example, automatically on machine learning saying, or this is not machine learning, this was machine learning, is saying, hey, you maybe should set up a label and give the label to the end users so that they can classify their data, which you can also automate. So it's don't depend always on the discipline of the end user. Yeah. So, for example, keep the data of the execs for 10 years. That could be, I'm going to give a name, I'm going to say for 10 years. I don't want to delete it after that time. Yeah. It's always at the end, if there's a problem, then you're going to define from where it comes. You're going to say also, I want to have a preservation lock. Once I've set this to be happening, nobody can change it. I don't want other one people. We can still augment what you are actually putting in the data and so on, but you will not be able to delete the policies or people can do things you don't want in the summary. Another example, retention sensitive data in finance, for example, retain the content that contains sensitive information, which has a certain financial out-of-the-box policy, which I can define here. And then again, we're going to define which are the containers that should be actually listening to that and the summary. Just giving you some of the examples. With that. Labels, I can actually have a label. A label says anything I'm going to use this label for will have to respond to a retention of 10 years, preserve and delete afterwards. And that label I can publish. So that will be published in the containers that you want, and it will show up in the applications that people are working in Office 365. In a Word document, poof, label that. In an email, label that. Like you know, rights management. We say this no restrictions or FTE only, things like that. Here you will have a label which you can put on the data, and depending on that, the policy will be active, will be saying, I'm going to archive that, I'm going to keep that, I'm going to safeguard that for 10 years or not. Okay, good. Data governance. So threat intelligence. Threat intelligence, the threat is about, like we already said, it takes a long time before people know that they are hacked. And also, just look at this sentence. 230,000 new types of malware were created each day in April 2015 and 2015, in 1 month. So how are you coping with that as a customer? What are you doing for that? You're looking at the internet? Yeah, so what we do see is that Microsoft is collecting from their side on all the partner information that we have, network information, our own services. It's collecting all that data and presenting that in a dashboard towards customers and advice, giving advice of what they should do in their segments. We see certain threats that they can actually take informed decisions and apply new policies on the fly, also manually. So what we actually see is that we get broad visibility on the attacks. We have these billion points of data points that we have ourselves, which we are using as a service, as an advice towards our customers in Office 365. Yeah. That integrated data is coming also. We have so cyber threat hunters, which are part of our SOC, which are looking at that and also defining extra advice to the customer. And this allows you to do a proactive security policy management as a you can actually, in the response phase, plan ahead and see it's not happening with us yet, but it's happening in other segments. I'm going to fortify a certain policy of access. I'm going to put multi-factor authentication for every administrator in place if you have not done it yet. And of course, get intuitive dashboards. This is being rolled out as we speak, where you find the dashboard. You can drill down with the threat explorer and see what's the threat. The description of it, what you should do, what the trouble is with it, and of course be alerted. Again, similar like we did with the ASM security management, alert people of that. So what you see, I'm going to build a slide here. What you see is that at our side, at the Microsoft side, you see that there are investments which we are using to feed services which customers can use in their own Office 365 environment or their own Azure environments to stay secure. You will see that on the endpoint perspective to the intelligent clients, we will feed Office, we will feed Windows with that information. And from this side, you will see intelligence flowing down into the security offerings that we have for customers on identity and application data. Okay. Good. Secure Score. Anybody knows Office 365 Secure Score? Did you use it already? Hello? No. Okay. So just again, go through that. Secure Score, securescore.office.com is a website you can log on with your admin of your tenant and is going to analyze where you are versus the normal security things that you should do. Yeah. Could do. Sorry. I'm not an advisor. Could do. Yeah, but and the score, the goal is not to have 273 because it depends on the customer and what you're using. But of course, there are a number of things that they can do. The point is, how can I increase the security level, reduce the risk with minimal impact to the user or some impact, and that you can plan for it? This is an Office 365 initiative, which will be extended to EMS, Enterprise Mobility and Security, will be extended to Azure, so that all these steps, depending on the tenants and the things that you use in the cloud, will actually advise you on what you could do. Yeah. So it looks like this. It gives you time to wake up. And then it gives you, for example, an information on what are the things that are in the queue or what you could do. If you click on this, for example, it gives an example like multi-factor authentication to be enabled for administrators. Yeah? And then it's going to explain you what the threat is if you don't do that. Okay. And then you can actually plan for that in the time, which is in the queue. And it gives you also an evolution of where you are or doing to make that more secure. So there's a good explanation on a blog here if you want to that. But this is what we are talking about. What are the things we completed? What are the things which are incomplete? What is the user impact to do that and to implement one of these elements? Because, hey, it's not because of the security that we are looking at it now that everything has to drop. Some things are more important than other things. Some have actually more impact to end users than others. And if you look at that, for example, that's typically what customers can do themselves. Partners can help customers with and say, in my protect, detect, and respond phase, there are a number of things I could do really urgently in the next 3 months, or it's less urgently because it's more data we're preparing for GDPR later on or even later on. So this is a very simplistic tool which enables you, if they have already intents enabled, go to that partner, customers, sit together, look at where you are, don't feel offended. There are a number of things that you just are like that. We didn't have the budget for it and you didn't have the time. But data and identity are defining new parameters which you have to look at. Okay. And I'm sure many of you have other offerings. So this is not an exhaustive mapping. This is just to show you how you, some of the elements that Microsoft is doing. We just had a discussion with Tony back there and saying we will not have GDPR tagged products. GDPR is something which is like many other type of things that we have in security and compliancy, and there are a number of things that you can actually use. Too late. Okay. So I'm really giving two messages. It's not a black box. So it's not only a single vendor approach. If the customer has already done certain investments, yes, with Microsoft, there's a lot of things you can do from a single perspective, but it's not an exhaustive mapping. You also see some things here which you might not know, but are offerings that our own services are offering to do data discovery and things like that. So just to go back, some things can be quick wins. You can use the secure score for that or other tools to define what you can do. Some things can be planned. You can use the same tools. And some things are just culture. How do I deal with data of customers in a way that its privacy is not offended? Yeah? And that means that you're going to be GDPR compliant. GDPR compliant is not technology. Technology is helping you to get to the GDPR compliance journey. You will not hear Microsoft tell you, if you implement of Office 365 or other type of products, you will be GDPR compliant. You will never see that statement. Yeah? So GDPR compliance is about people, the people that do that, the people that have the responsibility versus the customers on the data subjects which they are collecting data from. The processes that you put in place to be compliant and to respect the privacy that has been augmented by a law, not a guidance, but a law that if you do not comply, you will get certain fines. And I think our next speaker will talk about that. And of course, the last and not the last, technology can help you with that. If we take the list of the participants here today, we write it on a paper and you put your bank number on that, some PII for me, because we have to pay for this session later on, and I'm going to use that. That's also subject to GDPR, because if I'm going to use that data to harm you as an identity, then I could be fined. And where I'm sitting, whether I'm sitting in Europe or not, whether I'm dealing with Europe's citizens, that will be discussed in the second one. So, GDPR. So I reversed the session, just to the session content, in such a way that, hey, is there an easy framework which I can have a discussion with a customer, a partner, to determine where you are in security and compliance, and how does this relate to GDPR? Yeah. So I'm not going to stand too long on this one. It's a new legislation. So it's replacing a guidance which is more than 20 years old. It's about protecting the personal rights and the personal data of citizens, let's say identified and identifiable people. So I'll leave that to the next speaker. So also these things, just know that in this presentation you will find some data from Microsoft themselves. I'm not going to explain, this is going to be explained later on. What is important to know is what are you doing, Microsoft, in your contracts about GDPR? Okay, we'll talk about that here. So what you see here is that your organization is responsible and accountable. It means that by law, and the law is already effective since April 2016, yeah, only the fines will be effective from 2018, 25th of May. Yeah? So many people say, just a year. Yeah, just run Secure Score and let's see what their plan is to get to security and then maybe compliance. So what you will see is that you are responsible as an organization, and GDPR is not only about the customers you collect data from, but also employees, but you can define that as a customer. So we go back here. So where is GDPR really having the most of the impact? As we said over here, but you understand that data access and using data is of course bound to the fact which identity is using that data. So now you understand the whole framework, the whole security is really bound to the same goal. So what does GDPR mean for your data? Well, you will have to know where it's stored and how it's used. So who do you know who has access to the data? Yes, no. What are they doing with that data? If it's GDPR related, are they still processing data from an event or that they collected prior where they said, we're going to just keep that for 2 months, or there's 2 years later, they're still using that? people can turn up and say, what is the data that you're keeping from me? I was very happy to go to the Coloda. That clear, right? So we added last week, or a week or two ago, we actually have added contractual commitments to provide GDPR related assurances. It means there are amendments saying that yes, by the 25th, we will make sure that if you need to demonstrate as a company that you're using Office 365 and you are GDPR compliant, that we will make sure that you have all the data to demonstrate that. Of course, the fact that you need to have processes in place, what you do for that, that's something which is the responsibility of the customer. And whether we as a Premier and services or some of the partners in this room are going to offer services on that, for sure, right? And then you have also things like the data protection officer, the one who typically for bigger companies has to be a role which is in your company. Are some people going to actually do it themselves and some partners are going to deliver DPO as a service? I haven't seen Microsoft yet looking at DPO as a service. So do know that there we have some amendments where we actually say, well, if you have to prove that, demonstrate that you have compliance based on these services, we will make sure that that information is available. If you have to detect and report personal data breaches, you've seen some of the technologies that make that sure. But the fact that you call the DPA, the Data Protection Authority, and if the data subject is also hurt, if it's not hurt because you do, for example, encryption of the data and you keep the keys on a separate place, then you can consult the DPA and say whether do we still need to inform the data subject or not, because it will take 100 years before it's going to be encrypted. So there are some things to evaluate in this new law. And of course, I need to respond to the request of the data subject, the individual, the identifiable individual, to correct information, to amend it, because it's not up to date. I'm now 41, and I delete personal data. But at all times, you should not wait for the 25th of May, 2018. Because many are waiting and say, well, this is not going to be, the soup is not going to be served as hot as. So if you know the framework we just had, 5 minutes. So what is the thing that Microsoft is recommending their customers today on the framework for GDPR, for compliancy to that law? It's of course, you need to know where is the data? Can you detect in where the data is, which relates to GDPR? Yeah. So are we, because collection of certain PII information, affected or not? It's not because we have GDPR that everybody is affected. Yeah? So what data is related to that? So you should discover that. Two, you should also be able to manage the data and who has access to it. This is going to resolve a lot, because if we can now have a data breach or an identity breach, and you have nothing under control of who has access to what data, then that data will be available to be hacked as well. Okay, and then you have the harmful factor towards the PII or identifiable information of data subjects. Then what do you do to protect yourself and what do you do to report? So you see that one security, which is an overall framework, and GDPR is just a sub framework of that. Okay, and then you get this. Now I can go a little bit faster because you saw all these things. Discover in scope. So this is just an enumeration. I know if you read the document, the 80 pages, there is much more data. They make a difference between real sensitive data and non-sensitive data, gender, my religion preference, and things like that. But do know that what data is in scope of this new regulation? This is all about enhancing or augmenting the privacy of the individual in a working context or in a consumer context. So inventory, so what should I be looking at? Interesting things like that. So what happens if I put a backup back and the data is back and things like that? Maybe the next speaker can talk about that, because an interesting thing I would like to know as well, because some of the technologies are just not built for that, to extract out of a backup one single individual element, and if I just still restore that, it's back there and so on. Here you see some of the solutions, and this is why I started. I didn't want to just give an introduction of products, which to the fact of where is the data, what data is really related to personal identifiable information, PII, and what could I do with it, okay? And see, some of these are Azure related. It's not only Office 365. I just use that as an example. I have to close, yeah. So how do I manage that? So how to define policies, conditional access, and you see all these type of solutions which are intervened. Some of them we actually also touched on. How do I protect that? Yeah. So what are the solutions which I can actually, some of the things I didn't really cover yet, but bringing your own key, for example, is one of them. Having the mobility solutions or Emtune to actually control applications on devices and things like that are in there as well. And reports. So what can I do to actually have reports and produce reports to use also towards the DPA, the Data Protection Authority, or what I can do to monitor and have this circle. Security is overall all the time changing. So it's protect, detect, respond, and review again and see how we can get better. It's not an ending story. If you need some more data, I put in some time to give some useful links, because I know we went through this very fast. I wanted to make sure you get one. What's the one security framework you could use to easy and have a much more facility of the conversation between partners, customers, and yourselves? And what are the technologies which are related to it? And also, how does that relate to GDPR from a Microsoft perspective? Okay, you find that in here. And you also have for GDPR resources some more information here. We do have an extra event next week, 11 and 12 May, where we go half a day in GDPR in depth from a Microsoft perspective, and then we look at the technologies across EMS, Office 365, and Windows, if you would be interested to come there, a customer event. So if you see in the agenda, you will see some of these sessions really tie into that more into detail, okay? Happy to meet you afterwards for a coffee if you want.
Ja, dat is het laatste 10 minuten. Dus. Ik heb zelf geen PC bij.
Ah, oei. Nee.